Our topic this morning is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and I came up with that reading Hebrews chapter 9, and the first 10 verses talk about the Old Covenant, and then 11 through 28 talk about the New Covenant, and then in the same period of a week in reading through the Bible with you, I read in Ezekiel 36, 22 through 33, which was the long before prophecy of what you and I get to experience. I mean, this is when they were in Babylon, and it was long before the Jews even got to go back to the Holy Land, let alone before Christ came. So, here's our first illustration. I don't know if you can see that very well or not, but if you look at the monitor on my notebook, there's a general similarity between two things. This was actually a Christmas picture for, I think it was 2002 at the Victorious Christian Living office. My boss said, hey, could you take pictures of all the staff people and put them on the Christmas card? So that's the car cover off of my son's hot rod Chevelle hung on the wall with plants sitting next to it. And this was a self-portrait. Now, the point of it is, there's an old covenant, which is like the picture. It's the same clothes. Probably shouldn't tell you that I'm wearing the same clothes now that I did in 2002, but I am. You know? Only thing I seem to wear out are my socks. I do seem to wear out the knees of my jeans. And that's kind of a cool thing. You know, a lot of times when you meet me and you'll say, well, how are you? I'll tell you I'm blessed. How many of you ever noticed that? The neighbor guys actually had a joke earlier in this week. They had a day that went really good, and I went across to the street to talk to them, and they both were grinning when they saw me walk up the driveway, and the older one says, hey, how are you today, Wilmer? And I said, I'm blessed. And they both laughed and punched each other, and they knew that's what I was going to say. Right? Do you know what that Hebrew word for blessed is, if you looked at it in the Ezekiel time? Do you know what the Hebrew word for blessed means? It means he who bends the knee. He who bends the knee is the one who is blessed. When I tell you I'm blessed, this is why. Because I can still do this. I can get down here like this and I can get back up, which is the miracle of my age. The point of this picture is the old covenant was just a picture of the real guy, Jesus. And I am in no way saying that I'm anywhere near as perfect as Jesus was or as Daniel was as you read Daniel or as John was as you read 1 John with me. Nowhere is near. You know, those guys are major leaguers and I'm a peewee t-ball hitter compared to them guys. You know? But the Old Covenant was just a picture of what was going to come. Just the same way that's a picture of me. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10, here's the first verse that kind of summarizes. The Old Covenant had rules for worship and a place made for worship as well. As you read through Ezekiel with me, how many days do we read about this new tabernacle? Day after day after day after day. And I'm a construction worker's kid. And I like construction. 175 foot this way, 285 foot this way, 35 foot this way, 8 foot thick, 10 foot tall. Did you read all of that? That's all the new tabernacle and the new city that hasn't come down yet. I told you earlier this year what day of the year, what festival it's going to come down. But I don't know what year it's coming. But that was all talk about the old covenant. And then in verse 11 through 28, it talks about the new covenant. And verse 15 kind of summarizes that. Christ is the one who arranges a new covenant. We just celebrated communion. That was the inauguration of that, his death. So that those who have been called by God may receive the eternal blessings that God has promised. So that, no, this can be done because there has been a death which sets people free from the wrongs they did while the first covenant was in effect. So there is two distinct covenants. If someone was to ask you after you read Contagious Christianity, what's your church like? I want you to have a clear, succinct phrase to share with them. Because in this day and age, if you tell them it's United Brethren Church, they're going to go, what's that mean? Because it doesn't really mean anything in our culture anymore. Here's what I want you to say to them. We are a grace-based New Covenant Bible Church. Your blank is New Covenant. And I have a message that I'm going to bring in the near future about grace. I have a message that I'm going to bring about Bible to educate you and inform you how to do that. But if somebody asked you, what is your church like? What is it like? It's a
grace-based New Covenant Bible Church.
It's a grace-based New Covenant Bible Church. We do not practice Old Covenant practices. We practice New Covenant practices. And those are based on the Bible, and it's all based on the amazing grace that God has presented to us. But that's a clear, succinct phrase that you can use in communicating to people. I want you to invite them to our church. Not because we do anything super special, because I want them to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I think that if they came here, that might help. And this might help you. So when you look at the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the first covenant, the Old Covenant, was placed on stones, wasn't it? I was reading CBD, and you can actually get stones with Ten Commandments on them if you want them. I don't want them. I want the one that's placed on our hearts. The New Covenant is put right into your heart. It's written on your heart in the deep inner person that you are. The first one was based on law, and the second one was based on what? A desire to love and serve God. Now, does it mean a completely perfect implementation of that? What's the word? It's a desire. You remember reading Neil Anderson's book with me, and we defined the difference between a goal and a desire? A desire is something that you long for, but you don't have everything completely component within yourself to complete it, so it can't be a goal. A goal is something that you have all the resources that you can manage and complete. But a desire is something you long for that you want, isn't it? The New Covenant is a desire to love God and to serve Him. The Old Covenant, you had to teach people all these rules. You can't do this, you got to do this, you got to... That's not what we do here. We're free. Freedom is not cheap. Freedom is priceless. The soldier boys and girls that are on the front lines for you and I today, providing the freedom for us to be here, that is not expensive. That is priceless. Freedom is priceless. And we know it. In the New Covenant, we know freedom. We don't know about it. We experience freedom. In the Old Covenant, it's a legal relationship with God. In the New Covenant, it's a personal relationship with God. God knows you. You know God. God talks to you. You talk to Him. He uses His scriptures to do that. He uses feeble humans like me to help you with that. He has a personal relationship with you in the New Covenant. The Old Covenant was based on I do. Remember reading that in Bill Hybels' book? In the New Covenant, it's done. Jesus did it. You receive it just like a Christmas gift. It's done for you. All you have to do is receive it. In the old one, I will. It's based on myself, my flesh, my strength, my abilities. And the New Covenant, God says, I will. When you look at my outline that's biblical, God says, I will do this for you. I will do this through you. The Old Covenant was external, like a tent. The New Covenant is internal, like a body. When you study the tabernacle, there were three different places, weren't there? There was the outer, there was the inner, and then there was the Holy of Holies. Do you realize that you're structured the same way? You have a body, a soul, and a spirit. I talk to you about this all the time. Your body is the outer part. Your soul is the inner part. And your spirit is the Holy of Holies. The Holy Spirit of God lives within those of us who have accepted God's grace and been redeemed and forgiven by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Mary had a little lamb, Jesus, He was sacrificed for you and me so that we could experience this new covenant. How do you get it? By God's grace and through putting your faith in what He did. If you've done that, then you live in a new covenant. Here's in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 22, this is what God says. So tell the people, this is what the Almighty Lord says. I'm about to do something. I will not do this for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have dishonored among the nations wherever you have gone. Sadly, that's the same cultural problem. So, who is God doing this for? He's doing it for himself. Because quite honestly, he is the only one worthy. He is not doing it for you. He's doing it for his whole, for himself. Now, why would God do this? Why would God offer this new covenant to us? Because of holiness. Who God is a holy, righteous God. As we read Contagious Christianity, one of the most important things you need to understand is how to effectively and honestly, truthfully communicate to somebody who God is. And God is a holy God. You got to start there because that's the most important part of His character to us, is He is holy. That's why He presents this new covenant to us. It's for His name's sake. And you see, I don't know if you can read the red, the I will. This is what God's saying. And here is verse 23, the red. I will reveal the holiness of my great name, which has been dishonored by the nations. The name that you have dishonored among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, because I will reveal my holiness among you as they watch, declares the Almighty God. So, who will do this? God says, I will. I will do it. Why will God do this? Holiness. Because He is holy. That's why He will do it, based on this scripture. So as you look at verse 25, God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and make you clean instead of unclean. I will cleanse you from all your idols. Now who's going to do this? God is. I took a shower this morning. Did any of you take a shower or a bath? Oh yeah, two of you did? Good. Appreciate that. Three. Now, what did you do? Did you just step in the shower and turn the valve on and wait for it to get hot on a cold day and, right? You soaped also? Shampoo? Yeah. I'm an all-in-one guy. I brush my teeth, shave, and do everything in the shower all at one time. You know? It's all at once. So what is God saying? I'll provide the shower for you. It's there. I'll cleanse you. I will cleanse you. I will provide the soap. What about me? All you got to be willing to do is get naked and get in. That's it. That's what I'm asking you to do in a personal relationship with God. I'm asking you to get buck naked just like He made Adam and Eve before God and let Him cleanse you. He will do it if you'll let Him. So let Him. Verse 26, I will give them a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. Who's going to do this? Do I have to do that? No, He'll put it in me if I will let Him. Let Him. It's available. Let Him do it for you. I will remove your stubborn hearts and give you obedient hearts. If anybody needs stubborn dealt with, just ask these two girls here in red. I need that. Stubborn, oh man, bullheaded. I was taught for years that's the way Germans are. And then my mother said, Czechoslovakians are worse. You know, I'm a breed of German and Czechoslovakian. Stubborn, I needed a new heart. Who will do that for me? God says, I will. If I'll let Him. He'll circumcise, give me a new heart. God says, I will put my Spirit in you. He will put His Holy Spirit in the holiest of holies in my spirit. If by grace and through faith I'll receive it. I will enable you to live my laws. And you will obey my rules. Are we doing away with the Ten Commandments in the New Covenant Church? Absolutely not. You'll just want to do them. Think about it. How many of you who are married would like to come home and find your wife in bed with a neighbor? Anybody? No, you don't want to do that. How many of you get a new car for Christmas? Somebody puts that Lexus in your driveway with a bow on it, and the neighbor steals it. How many of you want that? See, just think about it. You don't really want the opposite of the Ten Commandments, do you? You really want in your heart to honor God. You have a desire to put Him first. You have a desire to live a moral life. You have a desire to live an honest life. You have a desire not to covet what other people have, and it bugs you when you do it. Why? Because you got God's Spirit within you. See, He says, I'll make you want to obey my rules. How will He do that? By putting the holiest of holy in our spirits. You'll want to. Then you will be my people and I will be your God. I will be your God, He says. He's going to get it done. Let's let Him in our lives. Here's verse 29. I will rescue you from all uncleanness. I will make the grain to grow. I will make the fruit trees to grow and the crops in the field. God says, I will do that. Did you notice this year that we had lots of grain around here? Did you notice we had lots of fruit? I brought bushels of apples and actually put bushels of apples into a landfill. Why did I have that? Because God says, I will do that. I will do that for you. I didn't have anything to do with those apples growing on the trees. I just went out there with the grandkids and kept looking at them. Are they red yet? God did it. That's what He wants to do in our lives. He wants to grow it. What's my part? What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to give thanks. Remember last week's lesson? Every time give thanks was in the Bible, it was there in relationship to giving to God, wasn't it? So what are the secret passwords? Thank you, sir. That's the secret to the new covenant. God says, I will do it by grace. And through faith, I receive it and I say, thank you, sir. I humble myself before Him. I bend the knee. I am a blessed person. I bend my knee before Him and humble Him and say, thank you. Thank you for what you have done, Lord Jesus. I could not do that. I need you. I desire more of you. Thank you for being willing to have a relationship with a messed up human like me. Right? In Ezekiel 36:31, then it says, you will remember your evil ways, the bad things you did, and you will hate yourselves for all the wicked and disgusting things. What's my part? Is I remember the sins that I did. I'm remorseful, I'm sorry for that, and I repent. It's an alliteration. Remember, remorse, repent. And the first thing you do is you remember that you have sins. Anybody read 1 John with me last night, chapter 1? 1 John was what we read last night in our New Testament reading. And the Apostle John says, if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. Because I do. I do sin. And it's just like the guys in the Old Testament. I just do it stupidly and accidentally. I don't consciously choose to do it anymore. I don't think, well, let's see. What would I like to steal today? I used to do that. Let's see. Whose wife would I like to try to seduce today? I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to steal stuff. I don't want to lust after stuff. It's changed. But I still remember how nasty of a guy I used to be. I have deep sorrow for the sins that I've done against people, and I did a lot. I've repented of those. I don't go there anymore. That's what the impacting new covenant should do on us. So in 1 Peter, we read this week, humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, then He will lift you up in His own good time. What's the secret? It's not living in pride like that parable that we did at offering. Oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, I tithe. Hey, listen, I'm doing pretty good. I'm reading my Bible every day. I'm doing my prayers. Oh, yeah, pastor wanted me to read that Contagious Christianity. I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to share the gospel with people now. I'm not like them other sinful jokers who aren't on the ball and aren't on the stick and aren't up to speed with me. Right? Humble yourself. Lord, I am the worst possible candidate to ever try to share a gospel with anybody. A couple years ago, Christopher, my son, bought me a Garth Brooks CD and gave it to me. And I said, what's this for? He says, you know, this one song on here is you. I said, oh, yeah, which one's that? He says, the street preacher song. And on this Garth Brooks CD, there's this drunken, recovered derelict on the street corner with all he's got is a Bible. And he's telling people, if God could save a wretch like me, he could certainly do it for somebody as nice as you. Christopher said, that's your song, Dad. And I thought, don't those kids just sometimes do the honest things with you? But that's really it. Apart from Christ, I would be in one of Marty's recovery programs. I would still be in AA meetings all the time. Apart from Christ, I'd be a derelict. I'd drink up, gamble up, drug up, immoral up everything I ever had and everything I ever would get. Apart from Christ. And I'm really sorry that I did all of that stuff. But if I'll humble myself, God will lift me up. In Isaiah 66, Beth Moore told me this one this week. Verse 21, I have made all things, God says. That's why these things came unto being, declares the Lord. I will pay attention to those who are humble and sorry for their sins and who will tremble at my word. Who will God pay attention to? The humble. Those who are sorry for the sins they did and are thankful for the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Don't live in that mourning over the stuff. Confess it to the Lord. Let Him wash it away just like your shower this morning. Cleanse it from you and be free from it. And then in closing, in Ezekiel 36, it says, I want you to know I'm not doing these things for your sake, declares the Lord God Almighty. Be ashamed and disgraced because of your ways, people. This is what the Lord Almighty says. On that day, I will cleanse you from wickedness, and I will cause your cities to be lived in again, and your ruins to be rebuilt. Bishop said he'd like our churches to grow. He would like our church buildings, that most of them are like this, sparsely populated, full. What's Ezekiel saying? Ezekiel's saying, if we will accept this new covenant, if we will remember and confess our sins to God, if we will be remorseful for them and repent of them, He will rebuild and refill our churches. I'm going to challenge you to read another book on evangelism in January. You'll probably get it before then. It's Bill Hybels' new book, Walk Across the Room. I'll warn you ahead of time, the new books aren't as cheap as the old books. It's going to cost you a couple bucks more, but it's worth it. I want you to be equipped to present the gospel and the new covenant to people. So that God could do this for us. He could refill and rebuild our church. So our goals and desires for next year, the goal is life change. I don't know about you, but for me, if I presented the gospel to one person in 2007, that would be one more than I did in 2006. I got off the wagon somewhere along the line. I lost my heart for those people. I'm still willing to do it whenever they ask me about it, but come to think of it, nobody came up and asked me about the gospel. So next year, I'm going to pray and look for people to present it to. That's going to be a life change for me. Would it be a life change for you? If you let the new covenant through you, just talk to one person next year. Just share the gospel with one. Would that be life change for you? Would it? Would you? If you just accepted the context of Ezekiel, that we would remember the sins and we would remember that we've become prideful and deal with that attitude, would that be a life change for you? Yeah. Last week we talked about thanksgiving in your prayers, not for the stuff that He gives you, but for the giver first. Sure, be thankful for the stuff, but start with the priorities, the guy who gave it to you. If we desire new believers to be added to our church, do you think people would like to come to a church that doesn't clobber them with all the rules, but loves them and gives grace to them? Do you think they'd be interested? I do. Do you think we have to steal anybody from any of the other churches to get that done? Heavens, no, there's lots of people out there who ain't going to church today. Bad English, correct theology. There's a lot of people. We don't need to take anybody from any church. There's a whole bunch of people who aren't doing anything with church because they're disgusted with it. Because it's trying to make them do the old covenant. So, in my personal prayer, I could change, couldn't I? I told Julie Wednesday I was just a crying meanie all day long. I was so consciously aware of all the stupid stuff that I do. I was just crying all the time. And the amazing thing in the midst of all of that, as I was driving and the Lord and I were having this conversation, I was on my way to the Victorious Christian Living Office and he and I had this conversation. He says, well, how many counseling sessions did you guys do over there this year? And I said, I don't know. It's in the Christmas letter. You know, I don't know. You know? He said, well, how many did you do last year? I said, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. I'm not good with numbers. He said, well, how many did you do the year before? I don't know. I get to the office, I'll ask the accountant. I got to the office, and it was like 2,500 counseling sessions we did, gave away free last year. And the year before that, it was more. And the year before that, it was actually more than that. Several years ago, when Julie and I run the place, it was three times that many. So on the way home then, I was visiting with the Lord, and I said, okay, well, you know, it's X number of thousands of free counseling sessions. And he said, well, how did all that get going? Well, I was just willing to say, I don't have anything I can offer you, but if you want to do it, I'll give you the best I got. For 17 years, there's been thousands and thousands of free counseling sessions in our community. Not because I know how to do what I do, just because I was stupid enough or faithful enough to do what he asked me to do. Thousands and thousands of people. Nobody knows about that. I tell you this only to tell you that God can use you to do amazing things if you'll just let him embrace you with his new covenant. If you'll just let him remind you of your sins, and you'll be sorry and remorseful for them and deal with them and pray about them and confess them to him and accept his cleansing and forgiveness. He can do amazing things through us at this church. So, do I want my life to change? What would I change in my prayers? Here's the last thing as Marty and the folks come up. Here's what my prayers would look like. Oh God, thank you for what you've done. Oh God, thank you for the new covenant. Oh God, be merciful for me. As I remember all the bad stuff that I've done in the past, even this past week, even earlier today, oh God, be merciful on me. I'm so sorry. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And thank you, Lord, for cleansing me from all of that. Thank you, Lord, for paying a debt that I could never pay. Thanks for redeeming me. As we go to Hark the Herald Angels sing 181, I'd like you to sing that with us.